Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Psalm chapter 37, beginning at verse number 3, scripture says, trust in the Lord. Everyone say, trust in the Lord. And do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless this word. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of you that are thankful for the word of God, come on one time real big. Can you shout amen? Amen. Amen. For a moment, I want to teach from the subject matter, the blueprint for blessing, the blueprint for blessing. And I truly believe that God has something in store for us today that's going to change us and transform us through the renewal of our mind. Amen. How many of you love shopping? You love shopping. Oh, I believe we need to have an altar call right now, because some of y'all ain't telling the truth. How many of you love the shop? Just love the shop. You know, people often say, if you want to tell who a person is, look at what they wear. I don't believe that, because you can change your clothes. They say, if you want to know who a person really is, listen to what they say. I don't believe that, because you can change what you say based upon the room that you're in. I truly believe if you want to know who a person really is, look at their Amazon orders. Amen. What's the last thing you ordered on Amazon? Think about that for a moment. Some of you are like, I don't know. Y'all would just be priming everything. Amazon priming soap, getting it delivered same day. You can go to the grocery store for that. What y'all Amazon soap for? Just ordering stuff. You ever found yourself buying something you didn't need and it showed up and you were like, why did I get this? Why did I get this? We were at one of the greatest gifts to mankind, the Bass Pro Shop. Come on, somebody. Oh, man. That place is like Disney World for men. You know, it's like you go in there and you just find fishing rods and just, you know, all types of things that you don't need, like bait. I was tempted to buy a tackle box, you know, just, I don't need it. I got to travel back to Florida today, y'all. Max has asked me last night in the room, Dad, can we go to the Bass Pro Shop and get some fishing rods? I said, son, how are we going to get that back on the plane? How? We can get fishing rods when we get back to Florida. But you find yourself buying stuff that you don't need because you're in a moment. You find yourself in a moment when you feel like you need to get something. There's a theory, and the theory is, don't go grocery shopping when you're hungry. How many ever heard that theory before? You buy everything in the store. Just find yourself getting stuff you don't need. You're opening crackers in the store, walking through the aisle, just munching on them. You know, in Florida, we got something called Sprouts. And in Sprouts, they have little samples. These little samples, you can take stuff, and you can nibble on it, eat on it. You know, it's like a little sample, so you buy it. We just be going past the same little station about 15 times till we get full. Just hungry in the grocery store, buying stuff we don't even need. But how many ever tried to return something to a store that you bought something from and you couldn't return it because you didn't read the exchange policy well? They make that exchange policy so small, it's so small. And it seemed like when you want to return something, the exchange date, it expires before you know it. How many of you look at a receipt one time and say 30 days until you exchange it? You try to exchange it 2 days later. You look at the receipt again. It says 3 days instead of 30. And then you exchange it too late. And they tell you what you don't want to hear. We can't give you your money back. But what we can give you is store credit. Y'all, I don't want store credit. What am I going to do with store credit? I don't want no more store credit. Store credit implies that I have to keep shopping in this store. I want what I gave you. Come on, somebody. I gave you money. I want money back. How many of you have ever come to the conclusion that the exchange policy does not really work for you as the customer? It works for the place that you bought something from. As we read Psalms 37, beginning at verse number 3-5, we see a unique exchange policy that works for us. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor, just do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. There is an exchange that works on our behalf like nothing else that we could ever receive in the natural. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And so in order for us to understand this, we have to look at what the original definitions for some of these words are. And the first word that I want us to look at is trust. Underline that in your scripture. The Hebrew definition and the Hebrew word for trust in this particular scripture is batak. And this word means to have confidence in. And so starting off Psalms chapter 37, it says, have confidence in the Lord. The reason we have confidence in God is because God can do things we cannot do. Can I get a good amen? Amen. God has the ability to heal where we cannot heal. He has the ability to deliver where we cannot deliver. He has the ability to restore where we cannot store. And he has the ability to save where we cannot save. Aren't you glad that you don't have to save yourself? But we serve a mighty God that is mighty to save every single time we need to be saved from something, even when we need to be saved from ourselves. We can have a confidence in God's ability to do what we cannot. This word batak means that we have a reliance. There's a supernatural trust in God's ability. The second word that I want us to look at is this word, delight. The Hebrew word for delight is anag, which means to take great pleasure in or to enjoy something deeply. It also implies that in order to enjoy this pleasure, you have to first have a personal relationship with God, which means the extent of my worship is limited by my ability to know who God is. What is worship? Worship is a response to knowledge of something, knowledge of someone, knowledge of who God is. What is worship? Worship is me acknowledging that there is someone higher than me. That's why God cannot worship. Worship is the one thing God cannot do. In Genesis, it says that he separated light from darkness. He created day and night. He separated land from sea, but he created you to worship because worship is the one thing God cannot do. Have you ever thought about that before? Why is worship the one thing God cannot do? Because in order for us to worship something, we must first imply that there is someone higher than us, and there is no one higher than God. There is no one higher than the King of Kings. There is no one higher than the Lord of Lords. So he created us to worship him. And hear me, he didn't create us to worship him because he needs worship. He created us to worship him because we change when we worship God. Worship changes our focus. It reprioritizes our life. It allows us to know that we are not in control, and worship always brings us back to the feet of Jesus, where it's the only place we can find our security and eternal pleasure. So when it says delight, it's saying you have to develop a relationship with God so that you understand the significance of the life that God has called you to live. The third word that I want us to look at is this word commit. The Hebrew word for commit is gal, which suggests that we have the ability to exchange our burdens for his blessings. It involves handing over our personal plans and agenda our troubles for God's triumphs, our will for God's way. This word gall implies that there are steps that we can take to receive God's best for our lives. I truly believe that God is not a respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of faith. And although each one of us are given the same measure of faith, the way we work our faith determines the outcome of what we see. Amen. And when we commit our life, when we commit our ways, when we commit our wants to the Lord, we understand God at another level that we could not understand him if we were to solely operate in our own ability and power. I have this written down. The breakthrough in my life, the blessings in my life, are they being postponed due to my defiance and apprehension? Or are they advancing through obedience, faith, and belief? And family, I want you to know that your blessing is moving towards you at the speed of your obedience. And when you commit your ways to the Lord, I don't care if it's 1 inch closer, you're closer than you were yesterday. I don't care if it's 1 centimeter closer. You're closer than you were yesterday. And you're moving towards your blessing, your breakthrough, your miracle at the speed of your obedience. Have you ever noticed when you follow directions on a GPS system, it gives you directions, but it doesn't tell you how fast you have to go to get there. It'll blink at your red when you exceed the speed limit, but it won't tell you how fast you have to go. It tells you in 1 mile you're going to turn right. When you turn right, it tells you in 1/2 mile you're going to turn left. It gives you the directions that you need to know, but you dictate the speed in which you get there. Hear me, family. Although God is directing your steps, you dictate your stride. When you commit your ways to the Lord, it moves you closer to what God has in store for you. It moves you closer to the plans and the purpose that God has for you. It moves you closer at the speed of your obedience. As I get to my notes here, because I haven't even started, I want you to write this down, point number one. Those who trust God are trusted by God. Those who trust God are trusted by God. Trust. In the Timothy definition, is to allow someone to do something without fearing the outcome. When I trust God, when I'm telling God is, God, I believe that you are able to do what you said that you were going to do, and I'm not going to fear the outcome. One definition of trust in the Bible means to jump off of a cliff and hang by a rope. When we say, God, we trust in you, it means that we're willing to take risks to prove God's faithfulness in our lives. If you feel like your nest is being shaken today, it's God's way of telling you it's time to fly. It's God's way of telling you no longer can you live in comfort. It's time for you to take the next step and fly into the things that I've called you to fly into. Those that trust God are trusted by God. One of the things that I've come to learn about my relationship with Jesus is that the voice I listen to determines the destiny I experience. If I listen to the wrong voices, I'll wind up at the wrong conclusions. When I listen to the voice of God, I'll turn up where he wants me to be, when he wants me to be there, how he wants me to arrive. And one thing I've learned about God, whatever God wants me to do, he ensures that I'll be successful at it. And so those that trust God are trusted by God. I've also learned, family, that your source determines your safety. When you know who your source is, you know where your safety comes from. My son, he's 7. He hasn't woken me up one night and said, "Dad, how are we going to pay for the mortgage this month?" Not one time has he asked me, "Where are we going to get gas money today?" When I'm making his lunch in the morning, not once in 7 years has he asked me, "How much is that bread for my peanut butter and jelly sandwich?" He has a security. Not one time in his life has he asked me, "How much were my pants?" The reason you'll know he doesn't ask those questions is because after service, you see him sliding on his knees, not caring if he puts holes in them. Not a care in the world, because he has a security. The reason he has security is because he knows that his Father is his source. When you know who your source is, you have a security. And you may not be able to explain it with words, but you know you can experience with your life. When you know who your source is, you have a security. So hear me, family, don't fear. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. Do you know what worry is? Worry is worshiping the plan of the enemy. When I'm worried, it is an indicator that I believe what the enemy has said to me is true. Hear me, if the enemy has spoken something to you, rejoice. You say, "Well, Pastor, that's crazy. He told me I have a bad diagnosis." I understand, but rejoice. Do you know why you rejoice? When the enemy whispers to you, and he may be shouting at you, you have this sickness and you got this disease, and my response is rejoice. Do you know why? Because he can't tell the truth. And because he can't tell the truth, whatever he says, the exact opposite is true. So if he says you're sick, rejoice, you're healed. If he says you're going to die prematurely, rejoice, you're going to live a long life. All I want is anybody that can rejoice in the Lord and be of good courage. He said you're losing your mind. You rejoice and say, "No, I have the mind of Christ." Every time the enemy tries to whisper in my ear, every time he tries to remind me of what I am not and who he thinks I am, I say, "No, I'm a son of the Most High God. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. I am the lender and not the borrower. I'm blessed in my ingoing and I'm blessed in my outgoing." And I wonder, is there anybody at James River that doesn't mind shouting unto God when the enemy whispers? One may say, "Well, Pastor, what must I do when the background noise gets loud? The whispers seem to become a shout. And the white noise gets overwhelming." And my response would be, you have to get louder than the noise that's surrounding you. Whenever you hear the voice of the enemy, you have to get louder than the voice of the enemy. You have to thank God when you don't feel like thanking God. And you have to find something to be grateful for. Why? Because your praise and your worship, when you're in the middle of your storm, is one of the greatest indicators that you trust God. Those that trust God are trusted by God. And when I can stand in the middle of my trial, when I can stand in the middle of my circumstance, and lift my hands and say, God, you're good. Although my situation is not, I still trust you. Guess what? The situation, the circumstance may not change, but you do. And have you ever noticed that God desires to change you before he changes what's around you? Oh, I've prayed many times, God, change this, God, change that, God, change this, God, change that, God, change this. And God says, before I change that, I'm going to change you. God, that's not what I prayed for. I didn't pray for that. I want you to change this. I want you to change that. I want you to change this. I want you to change that. I want you to change this. And God says, before I change that, I'm going to change you. Because in order for you to understand the significance of the change around you, you must first go through the process of transformation inside of you. God always works from the inside out. And he will transform you before he transforms anything around you. Those that trust God are trusted by God. The second thing that I want you to write down is delighting in the Lord doesn't just change the view, it transforms the viewer. When I delight in the Lord, it doesn't just change my view, it doesn't just change what I'm looking at. It changes me, the viewer. And if I don't change, what I look at may change. But because I have the same old mentality, I recycle the same old pain. Hear me, family. If you enter into a new season, dragging the same old bricks from the old season, you will build the same house in your new season as you constructed in your old season. And so not only does God change the view, but he changes the viewer. Did you know this? Your eyes originally see things upside down. But your mind changes the picture right side up. So without processing through your mind, your eyes would look at images upside down. But when your mind gets a picture, it processes it and turns that picture right side up. In life, right now, your situation and your circumstance may be upside down. But when you apply the mind of Christ, it changes every situation right side up. Things may look backwards and twisted and in chaos and confusion, but when you put on the mind of Christ, it changes everything around for those that love the Lord. And I wonder, is there anybody that even in the midst of pain, you can find yourself delighting in God? Because you understand, it doesn't just change the view. It changes and transforms the viewer. Your knowledge, it increases your learning, but your decisions, they determine your growth. My father used to tell me, son, you make decisions, but then your decisions make you. That's why scripture says, this is the day that the Lord has made. You have to choose to rejoice and be made glad in it. It doesn't say you will automatically be glad. It says sometimes you have to make yourself glad in it. Be made glad in it. You have to wake up in the morning and remind yourself of who you are. Because life has a crazy way of trying to defeat you. Life has a crazy way of reminding you of what you're not. And every single day you talk to yourself, you are echoing the voice of God. And every single day you listen to yourself, you're echoing the voice of the enemy. And so I've learned to talk to myself more than I listen to myself. And when I talk to myself, I echo God's voice. And I delight in his ways. I delight in his word. I delight in his will. And I delight in his wants for my life. The third thing that I want you to write down is this. Committing to God is like signing a lifelong spiritual contract in which the terms always work in your favor. When you commit to God, you're signing a contract in which the terms of that contract always work in your favor. I'm so glad that God's exchange policy is not like the stores we shop at. He says, come unto me, all of you that are weary, that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you, for my burden, it's light. What he's saying is, when you bring to me what you're carrying, I'll exchange it for what I have. If you can cast your cares at my feet, oh, you'll experience victory, joy, peace, like never before. But you have to commit. One of the things that I've learned about me personally is I'm only committed to what I confess. That's why when you receive salvation, we say, you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. That's why when we baptize individuals, we say upon your confession. That's why when you stand at the altar in holy matrimony, you confess your love and your commitment to your spouse. That's why at the beginning of every year for you workout enthusiasts, you have your pictures up, you have your Pinterest boards pinned, and you begin to confess. Why? Because you're only committed to what you confess. And today, some of you, you need to make a greater commitment through your confession. Maybe you've thought it, but you haven't spoken it. There's power in your words. There's power in your confession. There's something powerful about hearing yourself agree with God. So today I want to encourage you. Don't just think it. Confess it. If you know you are in a place in life where you are distant from God, you want to reestablish that relationship. You want to set a new anchor in deeper levels of commitment. Today's your day. When you think about where you are, it can only be through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. But the good news is where he's taking you, it's greater, it's better, it's bigger than where you've been. It's beautiful. It's glorious. And the Word of God teaches us that he has never forsaken us. He's with us. He's with you right now. And although you may feel distant from God, God is not distant from you. Although you may feel alone, God is with you. And God is for you. And when you trust in him, that is the greatest blueprint, the greatest map to your greatest season of blessing that you could ever know.